became aware of the power of conversation when I was a stay-at-home mom of three preschoolers. Friends would call and I'd talk their ears off, desperate for adult communication. If I remember correctly, some of them quit calling. When the children became teenagers, I loved driving them wherever they needed to go, as when there was no eye contact, they were much more open and talkative, giving me an important view into their worlds.
Too much of living, breathing, and being alone opened that window specifically with Agnes. When deep in the ugly grays of winter, I called her out of the blue to ask if she would simply phone me for just 1 week for 5 minutes, just to ask me what I was doing for the day, so I could talk to someone, hear another voice. Note, loneliness being one of our conversational themes over the last year, to make my long story even longer, before long it was Agnes who suggested that our 5 minute sound checks were actually interesting, and going on for 20-30 minutes, we would just take off. I firmly believe that conversation saves us. It heals and reveals.
And now, as a boomer who doesn't have any interest in retiring, I am rejuvenated, replenished by conversation. I'm cognizant of the power and the importance of both conversation and story. And Suleika, I appreciate always being able to exchange ideas, thoughts, and words with you.
Well, one other thing. Whenever I mention that our podcast is called The Lost Art of Conversation, the response is always positive. There's always an emotional response of, oh, great, that's a great idea. So going with that, let's go with it.
Let's go.
Oh, the weather has changed.
Well, and it wasn't supposed to, because I've been keeping an eye on it.
Well, you know, it was last 4 days ago. It was like, wow, I have to put my sweatpants on to sit on the balcony for my 5:30 in the morning check, sound check. And I was not very impressed.
Well, of course, I had put last weekend was the open house for this place. And I had put all sorts of things out in the yard just to declutter a bit. I mean, boxes and bins and things like that. And then it rained unexpectedly. So it was like, oh, okay. So, you know, dried everything off after the rain, brought it in, except for one bin that had actually filled, well, not partially filled, a couple of inches of water. And so Tavin and I cleaned that out yesterday, left it out in the sun to dry. And of course, it's full of water again this morning. Oh, dear.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
oh,
there
well.
You go.
Hey, how's it going with all your movement? Today is Friday. Isn't this a move day?
No, that's next week. It'll be, it's been a roller coaster trying to coordinate everything because it's such short notice for renting a truck and finding muscle and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think it's all settled now and I got a couple of friends coming to help. So, it'll happen.
It'll happen.
Yeah. And how are you feeling?
Much better. I really do feel a difference with the change of medication. And the first day was, this is only the second day. The first day was really like getting hit in the head, but that's okay. It's a change for your body. And today I just feel different and I like it.
Oh, okay. Good.
This, and again, this specialist that I've been waiting for to see is an old guy. And I like that because he actually did a physical exam. He did some experiments with my thyroid. He put his hands on my thyroid. He actually touched me. And, you know, this is, I think I've already told you this. I'm sorry. But I think that that is one of the protocols that's missing in life. We don't, modern life, it's don't touch. Don't. It's all going to end up in some catastrophe or sex abuse or something. But really, I appreciated his knowledge. And he was... Yeah. Very knowledgeable. Oh, I'm glad.
Well, I think too, I mean, I can remember the examination sort of, I don't know whether it was, you know, while having kids or after having kids or whatever, where my doctor, and he was an older man too, and lovely. Oh my goodness. And going in for a pap test and having him say, oh, I'll have to get a nurse in here. So it'll just be a few minutes. Uh-huh. I said, why do you need a nurse? He said, because we have to now. And I said, after all these years, like, may I give you permission just to proceed? And he said, sure. And I said, why waste her time? Are things going to change overnight between my doctor and me because there's some sort of little rule?
Right. Indeed.
Yeah.
So onward and upward. And I've already started working in my garden to bring things in because the monsoons will start soon.
No,
don't even say it. But just some of the plants that require more light. And so my window in my dining room serves as a greenhouse, tiny as it is. But my parsley and sage and lemon thyme, it's all inside now, tucked away in the sun. So we will continue gardening as long as we can. It pleases me. It's something to take care of in the morning. I love to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny, those little tiny routines and
routines. Did you say routines?
No, routines. Well, like the morning routines.
Well, the routines. I thought you said routines, as in herstory. You know, H-E-R. That's pretty good. Yeah, let's do routines. Okay, remember the story about my mom? I was telling you that every time I saw her, she said, do you notice how tall I am?
Oh, yeah, you said she was going through that thing.
Well, there's been an advance there. And she, the other day I saw her, and she said, can you see how tall I am? And I said, yeah, I can. And without batting an eye, she says, I'm 6'4 now.
Holy crikey, when's she going to stop?
I don't know.
Like, is she not worried about how her clothes are fitting?
No, she's absolutely delighted.
Oh.
Now, I wonder, Dr. Agnes, if it has something to do with the following scenario. My mother's room has smelled an awful lot like urine in the last 3 visits. So I've gone to the nurses and say, look, I don't know what's happening in there, but maybe you could be more conscious of cleaning. So the nurse came up to me. I've got 2 great nurses on that floor, and they said, well, we have to tell you something. So what is it? She said, well, it's your mother. She's the one who has the urine smell. And there's been complaints from
her person, not her room.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So some people are complaining about my mother. So yesterday I was on the blower trying to get a hold of her doctor at Harrow Park and her urologist. And I hope they call back today. To say, well, what can we do? Because the last thing anybody needs is to be shunned. Mm-hmm. There must be some simple way to deal with a catheter bag. Anyway,
that's. And how about the clothes? Does she have like clean clothes all the time?
Yes, she does. And it's not that she's leaking, it's that the powerful odor of the,
oh, I see.
The urine in the is creating a problem. So I'm going to approach them and say, look, if we have to change the bag every week, I'll pay for it. But my mother's sense of self is very important.
Yeah.
And it's such a small thing. Come on. After all this time, hasn't anybody figured out how to deal with catheter bags? Millions of people use them. Anyway, that's on my list.
Well, you know, I mean, and this is just an aside that's sort of just totally goofy, and I'm not being goofy about your mother. But, you know, like I have poop bags for my dog that actually come vanilla scented.
Really?
Like, really? So it's just, I don't know. It's just kind of strange where we put our priorities.
Oh, boy. That is a very good point.
You know, like, does my dog care? And do you really think that vanilla scent is going to change the smell of her poop as I carry it from wherever she leaves it to the garbage? Whereas, you know, like, let's put some time and money into maintaining dignity for, you know, humans. Because dogs don't care.
Dogs don't care. That is quite amusing. I am going to make that point. Vanilla. Oh, geez. Okay, so that's that. And, I'm feeling pumped. I've got a student at 11, and I'm ready for her. It's Friday. It's, yeah.
You have that bring it on sound.
Yeah, and I like that energy because, well, we're going into the last quarter. Here we go.
Oh, don't even say that.
Hey, did you get that the feedback I sent you from the 2 gals?
I got it. I must admit, I have not opened an email, well, except for one this morning that it was a panic on one of my websites. Other than that, I don't think I've opened an email for, let me see, oh, 3 days, other than the one of crashing today. Because we'd raced off, we were running late yesterday. We raced off because I wanted to take some stuff over to Tavin's house, and we raced back, and I came on. It was like, oh, it seemed like it's not going to there.
As a matter
So,
of fact, I sent an email saying, I'm crashing. I can't do it. It's just too exhausting. So, yeah, it was about 5 to 9 when I sent a message to you, and it was, I can't do it today.
yeah, it wasn't quite that early, but that's okay.
Well, here's God laughing at you. I like to be organized. It makes me feel secure. Sometimes I get a bit anal about it, but that's okay. We're all allowed to be a little neurotic. So Wednesday was my day. I planned it since Monday. Okay, Wednesday's my out day. And I had 4 things to do, maybe 5. And then it started raining that morning. I thought, I really don't want to go out in the rain walking to buses. But I've got it all arranged, so I'm going to do it. Well, it was not a catastrophe every time I turned around, but it was just annoying. The whole day was annoying, and the rain and the this and the that, and it was the first day of the new medication, so I just wasn't up to battling. I wasn't up to being the knight in shining armor for myself. And I'm waiting for a cab at my mother's house, and yeah, she's only 15 blocks away, but I wanted to get home in a sauna. I didn't want to walk. I waited an hour and a half for a cab.
Oh no.
And I phoned up the guys. I said, look, what's going on? It's the middle of the week. This is a direct line from Harrow Park because it's partly a hospital. People do not want to stand around waiting. What's going on? Anyway, well, the first day of rain means everybody wants a cab. Really? That's how we've become. Well, I was one of them.
Well,
But
but was there no intimation of that when you called the cab to say, we are overwhelmed and it could be like an hour, hour and a half?
no, they never do that, Agnes. They always say, well, could be 20 minutes. So after 40 minutes, you phone and say, I'm still waiting for this cab. Oh, well, it could be another 20 minutes. And I said, well, it's going on to an hour. Well, it's not quite an hour. That's not the point.
Well, the thing is, too, is I don't know. I'd rather have somebody say, oh, darn, okay, I'm in a hurry. I'll call someone else, only to have the other cab company say, like it's going to be the same. So let's go back to the cab company I know. So you've maintained a customer who's happy instead of A, the dispatcher getting angry phone calls, and then the driver getting crap as well because the person is unhappy.
Well, it's this little thing called service
A
and
service.
customers. So at any rate, that was my day on Wednesday, but I did have a rejuvenating sauna, and that made up for it. That's fast. What's your weekend like?
Packing, packing, packing.
Packing, packing, packing.
Yeah, I'm now going to do some packing. My lady who's in care right at the moment, I'm going to go finish up her apartment. After her family left, it was a bit of a mess. So I'm going to go in and I've done everything now except vacuum. So go in tomorrow and vacuum, go up Sunday morning. I'm going to go visit her on Sunday mornings now. This is a contract by the with the family. Although I may change it depending on when her bath is going to be, because I don't know. Like, we talk about care and I'm seeing it again insofar as, oh my God, grumpy people. Here's this woman who's got bolts and plates and God knows what else in her leg and an air cast on one leg. The other leg, she's just a couple of months off a knee replacement. She's in a wheelchair because she can't weight bear on this leg that's all bolted up. Her daughter took several skirts out and got them split down the back because there was a request to do that. But, there's a carry that. When this woman says, like I have a tummy fold now because I'm old and I've gained weight, I need cream put in there. And Then they take her to the toilet. They basically transfer her. This one aide transfers her into her wheelchair, no underwear, skirt draped across the front of her, won't even do it up at the back, like won't even do hit the Velcro. And every time she says, "Well, could you do the skirt up at the back? You're so demanding." And I guess she's had a bit of ridicule too because she likes to go to the bathroom 3 times a day if possible.
Well, that's really her business.
Well, the thing is, oh my God. I mean, I don't even count how many times I go to the bathroom in a day. I've
No,
had a lot of water, some coffees. I go. You know, and
exactly.
to be stripped of that dignity.
That's so disappointing to hear. I mean, is
Yeah.
there any avenue for that you can, is there anything you can do about it?
Well, she has mentioned it to, oh, and even the cushion underneath her brace, like this leg on her wheel, like the wheelchair has a raised support, leg support. But you know that it's hard. And so there's usually a pillow under her leg just for a bit of comfort. And same thing, you're so demanding from this one morning care aide. And when you're stuck with this person 5 mornings out of 7, she's just intimidated now that it'll get worse if she complains.
That's
And
just,
once again, that's being held hostage.
yeah, it is. That's terrible.
Yeah. So, and I mean, you know, you have your own set of stories. You know, it's unfortunately. And I mean, I texted the daughter and said, you know, I do understand there's a shortage of beds, which means the people who are going into care are a much higher care level,
Yeah.
which means the workload is heavier.
Yeah.
But at some point in time, you know, something has to change, and it better bloody change before I get there.
Well, I have a feeling that there will be a rejuvenation of the Grey Panthers, whatever they were back in the 60s. Only this time it will be angry old people who are educated,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
understand things.
And are used to having choices and making their own choices.
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, I see a huge, this is my vision for the next, let's say, 25 years. The revolution in healthcare will not just be cost, but facilities. I'm not going to live in a place like my mother is. I'm not going to have the meals that they produce that are loaded. They have sugar snacks all day. There's no fruit. It's all sugar snacks. It's all cakes, pastries. That's 1962 thinking. This generation just doesn't do that. And so there will be, and it's not the exclusive $7,000 per month places. Those places aren't going to last either because this generation just didn't make a quarter of a million dollars or $1 million on a house like our parents did. They bought a house for $16,000. They sold it for a quarter of a million. That isn't our generation. It's going to be very interesting. Let's see what goes on.
Yeah, it's going to be, or at least I have 2 daughters who say, "No, we'll just keep you in wine, Mom, and you can live with us."
Well, yeah, that's good.
If they keep me in wine, I'll be agreeable. Or passed out, one of the two, and then I'm really easy.
And you know what? What's wrong with that life? I would go for that. Which
Well,
one?
you know, interestingly, yeah, and I do agree because my father, for example, who lived at home until pretty close to the end, he would get grumpy. He'd want this, so Mum would go out and buy it, and he'd have a taste and decide he didn't want it. But basically, the one staple that he lived on for probably about a year and a half was McCain's frozen chocolate cake. And the thing is, and Mum used to worry about it. And I said, if he's happy, feed it to him.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because A, it makes your life easier. You're the one stuck on the ground with him. So give him what he wants, even if it's McCain's frozen chocolate cake 3 meals a day. I don't care. Just give it to him.
I like that attitude.
Yeah.
That's good. That's like a couple of people I know who quit smoking in their 60s. Now they're approaching their 70s, 75, and two of them said, "I can't wait to start smoking again." I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And it's like, well, I quit when I was in my 50s, 60s, because, you know, you want to be as healthy as possible. But now I just, who cares? I'm 75 now. I'm going to do it. So go do what you want to do. It's your life.
Well, I think, though, there's some things you do have to be careful about. Like I'm thinking of dying of cancer is bad enough when you're hale and hearty-ish, but I should think the journey's really awful when you're now also 85.
I'm sure it is.
You know, I
I
don't
mean, I'm not a proponent for smoking, as you know.
know.
But I like the attitude of, well,
I
you know what?
guess.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Something interesting is on the nature of things that I'm going to catch tonight. And it's doctors who are discovering that in memory research, that memory, there's many distortions and errors in memory. So I'm going to be interested in finding out how they've determined that, because that's a very interesting theme.
I'm sure it was a song or something, but you know, your memories are kind, usually. And or maybe they're the two extremes. They're either really kind or really nasty. You know, and I do think that our own biases mold memories as the years go by.
Oh, I don't want to believe that. She
Because,
said sarcastically. Yeah, I
yeah.
think you're right.
You know, because well, when the kids are young, I may have told you this already, but I used to say to them, write it down because my memory banks are full and they are taking no more deposits today.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, and they got used to that if it wasn't on the calendar. If they didn't put their stuff on the calendar, then there was a chance it didn't happen. But just knowing that I cannot remember anything else today. Like there's nothing else I can stuff into that memory bank. And once again, and especially if it's so full that your head's about to explode, something's got to change or get filtered down or something to in order to stay. Yeah, I believe things get changed and lost and misremembered.
Oh, I'm sure of that. I'm sure of that. So I will be very interested in seeing that because I like the science angle. It's like, okay, metaphysically, spiritually, psychically, emotionally, I understand that. Show me the science. I like to see that. So we'll see. I'll report on Monday. By the way, what's our week like next week?
Let me see.
Actually, you're going to be very busy. Do you want to waylay that until you're settled?
Well, why don't we touch base on Monday?
Okay, let's do that.
And I'll make a decision then.
Sure. Let's do that.
Okay. I mean, yeah, midweek, Wednesday, Thursday is going to be chaos, because those are the
Oh,
two
yeah.
days of the move. But yeah, let's touch base on Monday and take it from there.
One last thing. I was calling my bank manager, and I like to have. I like to forge relationships with key people like my bank manager. And that pleases me because you never know what's going to happen. Money is money, banks are banks. And if I have a relationship with them, I just feel more secure, whether it's valid or not. So I left him a message. He called me back and he said, I'm so glad you called because we're setting up a fraud seminar and I'd like you to come. So this is put on by the bank because of all the things that have been going on with TELUS and various other corporations on fraud safety and all of that. And I said, that's a great idea. And so that's what I'll be doing on September 11th.
Well, did you get the email I sent you about your PayPal thing?
No.
Oh, I returned that email that you had said, what do you think? And basically any of those. I mean, obviously if it comes from your bank or from,
Right.
you know, Revenue Canada, it's crap. Like don't believe it. But if there's any semblance of, oh, I wonder if this is for real, you never ever click the link in the email. You just open a new tab. And then go check that account, like just log in like you normally would. Don't click the link in the email.
Because that's the key, isn't it? That's where they get you because
Yeah.
that's there. Right. And I had a long talk with Earthlink about this the other day and about something else with my computer and all blah blah. And the guy was, and I said, you know, I'm getting more and more spam despite all the security. And I don't understand why I'm getting twice as much spam as last year. And he explained, probably you already know, everybody else does, that all these guys who send out, make your penis bigger, just change their email address regularly so that it looks like it's new, therefore it's not in the spam folder. And so you really do have to keep up with spamming all these people who keep coming back.
Well, the thing is, too, is there's ways around some of it, too, because spam filters will often pick up keywords, you know, like if it, in the subject line, you know, I for example, deal or get rich or something.
Yeah.
So what they do is they don't type get rich. They put G period, E period, T period, space, you
right.
know, R period. So suddenly it's new words.
Right.
So it's like, oh, okay, well, that doesn't say get rich. So we can let it through.
Right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. So okay. It's, yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of tricks, obviously. And I think, too, there's obviously, I don't know what they get from it, but, you know, I can get the exact verbatim email from 6 different people, all with random email addresses at gmail.com, you know, I mean. But so obviously there's recruiting going on to send out these things.
Right. Oh, yes. You have to be a bit of a mercenary these days.
Oh, yeah. And it's, I just empty my junk mail folder every couple of days and I'll glance through it just to be sure because there is the odd thing that will go in there by accident. But I find, too, if I stay on top of it, it doesn't build up. Like there's not 4,000 junk emails.
Yeah. That's what I do, too. Well, here's to the weekend, she said cautiously, hoping that it doesn't. Anyway, it's going on to September. What do I expect? And I'll touch base with you Monday morning, probably about 6:30 or so, 7 in the morning when I wake up.
What did you just say?
What did I just say? Are you not listening to every pearly word?
I am. That's why I'm questioning why you're going to talk to me at 6:37 in the morning.
You said Monday to touch base. Did you mean Sunday night?
No, but Monday at 9 to 9 o'clock-ish.
Oh, I thought you said we're not sure yet.
But why did you say 6:37?
Because if you're not going to be around, I'll do other things.
I'm so confused.
Are you confused? Well, let's put it this way. I don't want to benchmark you for 9 a.m. if you're not going to be there. So I thought I'd call early just to see if you're there. If not, then I will do something else.
Well, let's just say 9 o'clock.
Okay. You want me to take a risk then? Okay.
No, there is no risk. If I say it will happen, there is no risk.
Okay, now I'm confused because you're not sure what you're going to do that day.
But I know that I'm not going to be very far away at 9 o'clock.
Okay. All right. So I will send you, we'll find out on Monday morning what's going on.
For the rest of the week, yes.
For the rest of the week. Okay. All right. Enjoy every moment of crazy that is going to be upon you because I know what moving is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to do it anymore.
This too will pass.
This too will pass. All right. Enjoy.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll talk to you Monday. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye.